The Giant's Gamble, Chapter 7, Adamantium. The town of Tribor had become unnaturally quiet. Pieces of the town were smoldering ruins, others barely visible under the huge boulders that crushed them. The fire giants had come again to Tribor and left the scattered bodies of those who tried to defend their home and lost. Dirathra, the Lord Protector of the town, knelt down and pulled Narth's eyes closed. The man's broken body was one of many, and Rune couldn't help but feel at least partially responsible. He wasn't able to heal them. He had spent so much of his time after the academy focused on drinking and having a good time that he'd almost forgotten what he'd learned. He clenched his fists and closed his eyes, taking a deep breath, letting the guilt wash away, as he had often learned to do. "I'm sorry about your town," Killian said to Dirathra. She nodded and stood, surveying the town. "Most of our militia is in the south fighting orcs. Perhaps if I hadn't sent them, Noth and everyone else would still be alive." "This is no one's fault," Killian said softly. "All the same, we want to repair this." "How?" Dirathra asked skeptically. "We're not sure," he told her uncertainly, sharing a look with Rune. "But we're going to try and fix the giant's ordaining." "I'm not sure I know what you're talking about, even after what you've told me, but perhaps I can help," she said heavily. "There is a half-orc named Drow Thaliv. If you take the Evermore Way to the town of Everlund, you can find him at Danavar's house. He may be able to help you with the giants." "Everlund, you say?" Killian asked. She nodded. "It will be a 3 days' walk on foot if you travel lightly." "Thank you," the sorcerer said gratefully. Urgula, the woman with the dark skin and short cropped hair, took Evelyn aside. "You are a very skilled fighter, little one," the tall woman said. "Thanks," Evelyn said shyly, covering her scarred arms with her hands. Urgula took her by the elbow and began to lead her away. "Listen, I have someone you should meet in Zimmerval Hall." They walked out of earshot before Rune could hear any more. Dirathra excused herself. "I will send someone to pick up the bodies," she said, giving one last look to Narth's body before walking wearily away. Thea untied Aelar's head from her belt where she'd strung it. The facial features were barely recognizable and had been preserved with tar that was now sloughing off with what remained of the face. It was a ghastly sight, but Thea didn't seem to notice. She walked toward a grove of trees at the edge of town, a handful of his thick blonde hair in her grasp. With the flick of her hand, a mound of dirt rose from the ground and dropped next to a freshly dug hole. She placed the head inside and stood, hands folded and head bowed. Rune walked up to where she stood and took out his staff, turning the symbol to face the grave and whispering a prayer. Then he twisted the staff in his hands and placed it at his back. Thea whispered her own prayer to the gods, then whisked her hand through the air and brought the mound of dirt to rest over the head. "Goodbye, Aelar," she said quietly, then turned and walked past everyone without even a glance back. "Do you think she'll be okay?" Rune asked, surprised by a sudden empathy for the elf whom he had rarely got on with. "In time," Killian said. "Good," Rune said. Then, to lighten the mood, he added, "I could use a drink." "Wait, who's that?" Opal asked, pointing down the stretch of road where the giant had fled not long ago. A stranger walked down the path with hands in his pockets, looking around with vague interest at the destroyed homes and shops. He was dressed in black clothing and did not look like he belonged. When he noticed their group standing in the middle of the road, he looked at them in surprise but continued to saunter over. "Well, well." He was a tall half-elf with dark, chocolate-colored skin and flowing black hair, with pointed elf ears peeking out. "Looks like this town has been through a lot." "It was just attacked by fire giants," Opal said in her sopophoric voice. "Fire giants, you say?" The half-elf looked around again as if unimpressed. "Haven't seen any myself." His black clothing was travel-worn and frayed to the point of being overwashed, and his large pack showed he had been on the road for a while. "Where are you from?" Killian asked. "Oh, I'm from nowhere," he said vaguely, shrugging. "And everywhere." "And what is your business in Tribor?" "Well, to be perfectly honest," he rubbed his clean-shaven face with a smirk, I was planning on coming to this town to steal things, but it seems like there's nothing to thieve. That's very honest, Rune said, eyeing the half-elf suspiciously. Do you gamble, Mr. Bran? Bran Tallsteg. He bowed in introduction. And yes, I do gamble. I'm quite good at it. We'll see about that, Rune smiled and folded his arms. Who wants a drink? Killian asked, looking longingly over to the Talking Troll Tavern across the road. I'll be there in a minute, Rune said seriously. I want to check the giant's body. Same, Thea said, having appeared behind them to eye the newcomer. Her face was expressionless, void of the emotion that had been there only moments before. As the two of them trotted off, Rune heard Killian say to the half-elf, What about you, Bran? How does a drink sound? I always like to meet a stranger on the road. I could drink, Bran said with a shrug, though I can't promise you'll like me. Thea pulled up a long metal staff from a spot near the fallen body of the giant. What do you think they were digging for? Opal asked. She and Evelyn had followed Rune and Thea out to the dark field to check the body for clues. Evelyn had first cut out the giant's heart and stowed it away in her pack, and no one was too surprised. She was a strange girl who seemed to like body parts as souvenirs. Rune still wanted to know about the eyeball. He cast a small detection spell, and he could feel a glimmer beneath their feet where the dirt had been upturned. Here, he said, walking around. There's something magical down there. Look. He pointed at a glimmer of metal, and Thea immediately began pulling dirt from the surface of the metal object. Soon, they had a large portion of it uncovered. It was a long, bent pole of metal. What is it? Evelyn asked, and Thea inspected the staff more carefully, holding it up and pointing it at the large metal piece. I'm not sure, but the staff is directing me straight to it. It contains some sort of detection magic. This must be what they were using to find whatever this is. It's probably why they attacked the town. Thea shook her head thoughtfully. It looks like it's part of an old structure, Rune said, inspecting the area. Durathra might know. We could ask her. Do we cover it back up? Opal asked. The hole was impressively large, and their work over the last 20 minutes would be hard to hide. No, Rune decided. The other giant said she would be back, and she knows exactly where it is already. Besides, it's too big for us to move. With that, they went in search of Durathra. They found Durathra organizing a cleanup party. She told them she had already sent word to their militia south to return prepared to fight a fire giant, possibly more. She didn't know about the metal structure beneath the town, nor why the giants would be looking for it, but she suggested they speak with Alestra. If anyone knows about it, it would be her, Durathra said. Thea and Opal looked at Rune nervously. We need to tell her that her second husband is dead. I can do it, Rune said. No, Thea said firmly. That's a terrible idea. The first time did not go well. When they turned to continue their conversation with Durathra, Rune winked at Evelyn and ran off in search of the Lionshare shop where Alestra worked. Sure, the first time might have been awkward, but this time, he knew exactly what to say. We sold it, Thea said excitedly several minutes later. Thea and Opal had quickly caught on to Rune's attempt to break the news to Alestra and stopped him before he could get a foot in the door. They left him outside, Opal picking him up unceremoniously and dropping him outside, and spoke with Alestra themselves. Now they stood with Killian and the awkward Bran outside the Talking Troll Tavern, which was empty of its owner. They'd asked Bran for some privacy, and the half-elf now stood apart from them, looking bored. You sold it? How? It's already in their town, Killian said disbelievingly. They had told Alestra about the metal structure they'd dug up, and she offered them 5,000 gold in gems for discovering it. Thea shrugged. She offered it, and I wasn't about to say no. I warned her the giant would return and would be looking for it. Hopefully they move it in time. Strange, but I won't argue it, Killian sighed. We could use the money if we're ever going to get somewhere. There was a pause as everyone agreed to that. Rune knew exactly what he was going to use one of the gems for. Are we ready to leave Tribor, Killian said, and head to Everland? Everyone nodded their agreement quite adamantly. They had quite enough of the dilapidated town of Tribor, and all preferred to keep their heads on their shoulders, and that meant staying far away from fire giants. What did you find out about our new friend Bran? Rune asked quietly. Quite an interesting fellow, Killian said. He was a sailor, well, a pirate. Now he travels through towns looking for things to steal. Sounds like he's gotten around, Rune said jokingly. But seriously, do you think we can trust him? Killian shrugged, unsure. I asked him to travel with us, he said, at least for a little while. From what he's told me, he's a decent fighter and he's good at sneaking into places. We could use that on our team. We're a team now, Rune asked, arching an eyebrow. Plus, who's better at sneaking into things than a 3-foot-1 gnome? Seriously, Killian, get your head out of your
Well, Killian cut in, he could be useful. That's all I'm saying.
Thea glanced over at Bran. I think you're right, she said finally. He's kind of attractive, hey, Thea? Rune said, nudging her, despite the pointy ears, of course. She rolled her eyes in response. Evelyn sighed wistfully.
I'd like to see him fight.
Me too, Rune nodded, but first I'd like to see him play cards.
It's settled then, Killian asked, and one by one the group nodded their assent. I say we give him some gold as compensation for coming with us on the road. 5 gold each should suffice, especially after the large sum we've made today.
Okay, but I want to talk to him first, Opal said, and skipped towards Bran immediately, saying loudly, Excuse me, Mr. Half-Elf, but if you were walking down a path and you saw a cat and it, let's say, rubbed against your leg and meowed, what would you do? Would you say hi to it? Would you ignore it? Or would you kick it across the road?
Bran looked over at the others, who all shrugged as if saying, This is Opal, get used to it.
I would let the cat be, maybe make eye contact with it, and continue on my way.
Okay, Opal said happily, turning to everyone else. He doesn't kick animals. He's allowed to come.
Where are you planning on going? Bran asked. Ah, yes, well, about that. And Killian began to explain their destiny to save the world and stop the giants.
Rune and Killian headed to an inn that was still intact and had a meal. Meanwhile, the rest of their companions went to speak with the other townspeople and see what they could find in the abandoned homes. Thea returned first with a wanted poster, showing it to them.
I found it in the campground caretaker's shed, she said, pointing to the drawing of a dwarf neither of them recognized. The poster read, Weevil the Dwarf, Wanted, Taken Alive. Below that was a handwritten note scrawled in the corner that said, Stables in Xanthral's Keep.
An interesting thing to keep in mind, I suppose, Killian said. Though I think we should focus our efforts on the giants.
Speaking of, Rune said, pulling out a deck of cards as he saw Bran enter the tavern. Who wants to play a little game of cards? The militia arrived early the next morning and began building their defenses around the town of Tribor. Before leaving, the group met with Dorathra one last time, and she handed them each a platinum badge, which she said was a gift for what they'd done for the town. They thanked her and headed east out of Tribor on the Evermore Way. The next night, they arrived in the town of Yartar, a place where Evelyn had been before when working with various mercenary groups. They spent the night in the Silver Stag Tavern and spent some time gambling. Rune had to admit Bran was quite good, but Killian took the pot and the two of them shared mead late into the night, reminiscing about old tales. When they were back on the road the following day, Thea told them she was able to attune to the metal staff they'd taken from the giant.
I've spent time studying it, and it looks like it will detect any adamantium metals and point me in that direction.
So you think there are more of these structures out there the giants are hoping to find? Rune asked.
I'm not sure, she admitted, but I'm going to keep an eye on it and see what I can find.
Once they left Yartar, they continued down the road until they were affronted with a musty scent of a bog nearby. Feeling apprehensive as the fog set in around the area, they continued until nightfall, where they made camp off the road. It was a chill night, and it was a challenge to keep their fire warm on the damp earth, but they managed to set up their bedrolls in a semi-dry area. Opal and Rune took first watch around the camp. Rune waited until everyone else was asleep, then asked the Genasi, Opal, I realize I don't know much about you. You know back when we were first on the road together and were attacked by those giant vultures? She nodded. And there were those goblins, and the one we took captive. Well, you seem to really hate goblins, and I haven't noticed that you hate too many things. I'm just curious what it is about them that affects you so. The Genasi shrugged and looked through the mist.
They're abominations to the land. There's something about nature and the life it holds that creatures like goblins have no regard for. They burn and cut and wreak havoc on the beautiful things around us. That can't go unpunished.
I never saw you for the type to punish someone for their misdeeds, Rune said quietly.
I don't know, she sighed in her dreamy way.
I just feel that it's my responsibility to protect life.
I get that, Rune said, thinking back to his time at the academy. So, I know you're half gnome, and therefore at least half awesome, he said finally. But which half of you is gnome? And where did the Genasi part come in?
My mother was a gnome.
Opal looked down at him sadly.
She was shamed by our village for marrying my father. He was an Earth Genasi, which I think is why I feel so connected to nature. Anyways, once my mother and father were both gone, the gnomes raised me, but they were cruel. They hated that I was different. So, once I was old enough, I ran away and I never looked back.
They were probably just jealous by how tall you were, he said quickly, then added, I'm sorry they did that to you. Although I'm a gnome, I really haven't spent much time with others like me. At least, not for a while. There were footsteps behind them and they both turned, but it was only Thea, come to take over the next watch. Rune left the two women to speak and crawled into his bedroll, curling up into a tiny ball to keep warm. Eventually, his shivering turned to snores. Did you know that bogs can actually preserve organic material really well? Rune said instructively to everyone as they walked, the strong smell of rotting plants and stagnant water ever present. You could drop a body in one, and it will still look good as new when you dig it up a few thousand years from now.
I didn't know that, actually,
Evelyn said in her soft voice that made no one doubt she was telling the truth.
How do you know that, Rune?
Killian asked curiously. Oh, just something I learned at the academy, he said, waving a hand. He rarely talked to Killian about his time at school.
I don't want to bog you down with such a boring tale.
Killian rolled his eyes at the pun. It was nearly nightfall, and they would need to set up camp again soon. Wait, Thea said suddenly, stopping the group. The staff can sense something. She lifted the metal staff and pointed across the bog down a path through the marshes. Adamantium. That way.
Do we follow it?
Opal asked excitedly.
I don't know, Killian said uncertainly. We really should get to Everlund and speak with that half-orc Dorathra told us about. Can we really afford the detour?
These relics might be really important, Killian, Thea said seriously.
What if the giants are there already? The sorcerer asked. We didn't fare too well against them last time. Look at how many people died.
Bran looked up in interest, but said nothing. The half-elf had been rather quiet in the journey, observing them from afar and saying little about their plans to repair the Ordning.
Can you tell if it's far? Rune asked, and Thea shook her head.
It feels close, but I couldn't say how close.
Let's at least make camp for the night, Killian said, eyeing the darkening sky. We can decide in the morning.
They all agreed and found a thick patch of scrub brush where they unfolded their bedrolls.
No fire tonight, Killian advised, looking nervous. Not while we're this close to that strange metal.
Rune awoke to Thea saying in a hushed and frantic voice,
Everyone, wake up! I can hear something coming, and it's big.
Rune could tell exactly what she meant. The squishy ground seemed to tremor with the sounds of approaching footsteps. He groaned internally, praying they wouldn't need to fight another giant. He was much too handsome to die. Rune scrambled to his feet and stumbled into the bramble as he pulled up his trousers and got out his short bow, crouching down. Suddenly, Killian threw out his hands and a massive cloud of fog rolled in around them, obscuring their view. Rune could hear shouts from small creatures in a gargled language that sounded primordial. They knew they were there. Rune cast his thaumaturgy to land 30 feet away. The air shimmered, and there was an echoing animal scream caused by his spell that seemed to draw the attention of a few of the gargling creatures. Rune could only see a few feet in front of him.
Everyone grab on, Thea said quietly. We'll use my staff to guide us out.
Rune reached his hand out and grabbed Evelyn and Killian's hands until they walked in a chain, Thea in the lead. Then there was a booming voice overhead.
They're in the fog! Get them!
Evelyn released Rune and Bran's hands.
What are you doing?
Rune hissed, but she drew her swords and cut both palms, and her blades ignited in black flames.
Oh, great!
Rune swore as the white-haired girl disappeared into the fog. From nowhere, a giant scorpion tail appeared, dropping right in front of Bran. Bran jumped back, silently drawing a dagger from his sleeve, but Thea said,
It's Opal! Grab on!
Bran grabbed the scorpion tail and started following it through the fog.
I think we'll have to fight, Killian said, looking down at Rune, then releasing his and Thea's hands.
Damn it, Thea cursed as Killian ran out of sight. All right, fine.
She reached back to switch out her staff for her sword.
At the same moment, Killian's fog cloud disappeared, and Rune had a momentary panic attack, thinking the sorcerer had been killed. He breathed out in relief when he saw the man standing 10 feet away, shooting glowing orbs into the sky to illuminate a huge fire giant swarmed with winged creatures blazing with magma. A massive ball of fire burst and exploded into the middle of them, sending everyone flying back. Rune rolled to his feet a moment later and patted out the flames on his jacket. Rune summoned his duplicate illusion and sent it running towards Killian to see if he needed healing. It was then that he was able to fully grasp Opal's new transformation. She was a massive brown and red scorpion with a wicked-looking curled tail. The druid charged at one of the flying creatures and pierced it out of the sky with her tail. Thea drew her sword and sang into the blade until it began to glow, then leapt and slashed at another creature. Evelyn was already in the fray, and Bran was sneaking around the edge of the bog, shooting them down with arrows. Killian lined up a shot and threw a bolt of lightning, striking down two of the flying creatures and arching off to hit the giant, who roared in anger.
"Kill them!" the giant shouted more fervently.
Meanwhile, Rune twisted his hands over his head and cast a spiritual weapon to hover next to the giant. It was a large hand with the middle finger out, and it started jabbing at the giant's face and eyes. The giant roared again and tried swatting it away. The scorpion ran under the flying creatures and charged at the giant with claws and stinger snapping. Evelyn dispatched the last of the smaller creatures, and they all surrounded the giant with their various spells and weapons. The giant raised his greatsword and slammed it onto Opal's back once, twice, and finally cracked the hard scorpion exterior. Opal shuddered and shrunk until she was a small Genasi standing at the foot of the giant, who went to stomp on her. With a scream, she changed back into the scorpion just in time to pierce the bottom of the upraised giant's foot with her stinger. The giant nearly lost his footing. Thea started shooting spells at the giant, standing next to Killian, who threw a chaos orb that struck the giant's thick armor and pelted off. Evelyn stood near the giant, and she wasn't moving. Her eyes glazed over. "What the blazes is that girl doing?" Rune thought. The giant grabbed his head, looking around in pained confusion, which gave Rune the chance to poke him in the head with the large spiritual hand repeatedly. The giant screamed, and Rune laughed out loud.
"Ah, Killian!" Thea shouted.
"Yeah?" the sorcerer replied as he struck the giant again.
"I just remembered. Giants don't have dark vision," she said.
"Right," Killian nodded, and he killed the lights. Then, Thea and Killian simultaneously hit the giant with more lightning. Opal, again in her scorpion form, was the one to take the hits on her hardened carapace. For another few long, drawn-out seconds, they all hit the giant with their various spells, slashes, and shots. And finally, Bran shot an arrow into the giant's thigh, and he fell to his knees. At the same moment, Thea and Killian hit him once more with electrical bolts, and the giant fell with a pitiful moan. When the dust had settled in the dark night, they could see Evelyn standing atop the corpse, already working at digging the heart from its chest. It was a gruesome sight. With a sigh of relief, Rune cast a healing spell over each of them as Thea went over to Evelyn to check the body.
"Well done, Opal," Killian praised as the Genasi walked over on 2 feet, back to her normal form.
"Thanks," she beamed, "though I don't think Scorpion's poison works on fire giants."
"It worked well enough," Rune said happily, nodding to Bran appreciatively. "Glad to see you're a good shot, Tallstag." Bran gave an awkward smile. Thea found the giant's bag, and it contained some very strange items, including another staff like hers, which they immediately placed in Rune's bag of holding. There was gold, a large statue of a dwarf that looked to have been parted from its base, an empty chest, a wooden door, and a tent. The wooden door was perhaps the most strange and interesting find. But for their health and time being a heavy burden on them with the fate of the world on their shoulders, they set up the tent, which smelled oddly of troll, and bedded down for a restless sleep. They followed Thea's staff down a winding path through the bog, stopping once they noticed a pack of 16 orcs pushing along 6 halfling prisoners. They ducked and watched them go, certain they were no match for such a large number of orcs, especially after how they'd fared in Nightstone. Rune felt guilty about the decision, but Thea reminded him that they had a larger part to play, and they couldn't take the time to save every little person. He tried not to take the little person part personally. They walked on for a few miles before they reached the outer edge of the marshland. Thea pointed her staff a few feet off.
"There, it's buried beside that hill."
They rushed over to examine the area.
This will take hours to dig up, even with magic, Rune said, staring down at the packed earth. We have to try, the elf woman said as she began to pull up dirt and cast it aside. They took turns pulling up dirt, and it was late afternoon by the time they uncovered 3 feet of a metal dome, with evidence that the piece was much larger and went quite a bit deeper.
I don't think we can take this with us, Killian said, wiping sweat from his brow and leaving a streak of mud.
Definitely not. It's huge and we don't have the time, Evelyn said quietly, and Rune had to agree with the girl. She seemed distant after her conversation with Urgula, and Rune reminded himself to ask her about it sometime. Bran didn't say much, only watched. Though, to his credit, he had helped with the digging. Maybe we should try to destroy it, Rune suggested, before the giants can get to it.
We can definitely try, Killian said.
They all agreed and began trying various substances against the metal. Acid, frost, fire, even radiant light channeled from Rune's deity. None of it had any effect on the adamantium.
It's no use, Thea eventually said. It cannot be destroyed.
Rune agreed and took out a bottle of black ink and painted a giant representation of male genitalia on the top of the dome.
What exactly is that for?
Killian asked, arms crossed. Amusement? Relieving the tension? Rune shrugged. Maybe it will be so off-putting the giants won't want it.
Or they'll want it more, Bran said with a hidden smirk.
We could bury it again and hope they don't find it, Opal suggested.
It wouldn't take long for the giants to uncover it, not if, as we suspect, they all have a staff like the ones Thea and Rune are carrying.
Rune hesitated before saying, I could try sending a message to Zephyros.
You can do that? Thea asked, sounding impressed.
Well, Rune winced uncertainly. I'm not sure. I haven't tried the spell in years, and it's quite basic in its use. I can only send 25 words, and if the spell works and he hears it, he can respond with 25 words of his own.
That's oddly specific, the wizard said.
Thea, you should know better than anyone about the constructs and balances of magic, Rune shrugged. I didn't pay much attention in that class because, well, who likes math?
I like math, Evelyn offered, and Rune gave her a sarcastic thumbs up.
Do it, Killian said. If Zephyros can come, he could know what these constructs are.
And take this one before the other giant finds it, Thea added.
All right, Rune said, closing his eyes as he began to weave the spell in his mind. He pictured in full detail the cloud giant Zephyros with his grayish skin, flowing robes, and white beard. He pushed the spell through the skies and felt a push back, like a nudge in his consciousness. He held up 2 fists and began to count the words as he said them. Hi, Zephyros. It's Rune. We're between Everlund and Callinghorn. Found staff and adamantium structures. Get us if you can. Look for giant penis. Thanks, bye.
The penis was a nice touch, Thea said.
You have no idea, Rune grinned. And a few moments later, he received a response in his head.
Hello, little one. Unfortunately, I cannot help you. I am quite far away and fighting more blasted dragons. Good luck.
That was all. He's not coming, he told them. So the dick was kind of a waste of time. I say we bury the thing and hope no one finds it. Or at least hope it's not that important. Rune knew that wasn't true, but they couldn't dwell on it when there were bigger things on the horizon. He knew the structures were probably connected, but he couldn't figure out what that connection was. They covered the dome with leaves, knowing it was not an effective hiding place, but knowing there was no alternative. They were on their own. In resignation, they followed the path back through the bog and made camp far from where they'd found the adamantium, close to the Evermore Way. Bran woke them by banging on the side of the tent and shouting, "Riders are coming this way." The sound of galloping horses thundered through the darkness. They all tore out of the tent and saw from a distance 5 riders carrying torches and headed straight for them.
Let's try talking to them, Killian said quickly, before we try and kill them.
Evelyn sheathed her blades, looking annoyed. You've been listening to The Giant's Gamble by Alexis Fienendahl and based on the Storm King's Thunder D&D campaign. For more stories written by me, you can visit my blog at alexisfienendahl.com or click the link provided in the show notes.
You can also subscribe to my podcast so you can keep hearing stories by me. Thanks for listening.